I'm Mike Webb, and welcome to the ProPublica podcast. On this week's show, we take a behind-the-scenes look at Sebastian Rotella's new investigation, Finding Oscar, Massacre, Memory, and Justice in Guatemala. The piece traces the life of Oscar Alfredo Ramirez Castaneda, your average family man living on the outskirts of Boston, whose world is turned upside down when he learns he's living proof of a mass murder that occurred in the small Guatemalan village of Dos Aires nearly 30 years ago. More than 250 men, women, and children were slaughtered that day. Oscar, however, was spared by one of the army commandos whose family went on to raise him as their own. So what do you do when you find out your father is actually your kidnapper and that your whole life is based on a lie? Rotella's editor, Tom Detzel, joins us in the Storage Closet studio to share more of Oscar's story and to walk us through how this piece came about, the challenges it presented, and why we partnered with This American Life and Fundacio MEPI for this amazing story. Welcome to the podcast, Tom.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be here with the paperclips and toner.
It is the Storage Closet studio. All right. Well, why don't we start with how did we come across Oscar's story in the first place?
We got tipped to it.
By?
By our executive editor, Steve Engelberg. Actually, Steve found out about the story from two different sources. He was out at a social occasion sometime during the holidays last year and ran into Freddie Peccarelli, who's one of the characters in the story. He's the forensic anthropologist from Guatemala, but who was raised in Brooklyn. And who's done a lot of the work of kind of digging up remains down there and trying to identify victims of massacres, not only in Guatemala, but elsewhere. And then separately from that, Steve also heard from Ana Arana of Fundacion MEPI, which is a nonprofit in Mexico City, kind of like ProPublica, but on a smaller scale. She had heard about the story and also came to Steve saying, hey, we got to do this. And Steve and I talked about it and obviously recognized it was a great story and decided that we go ahead.
Okay. And did you decide to, why Sebastian Rotella to be the reporter?
Because he's perfect for it. Sebastian has covered Mexico, Central America for more than 20 years. He's fluent in Spanish, also fluent in Italian, and just knows the terrain, knows the issues, has lots of contacts down there and was perfect.
And how complete was it when it came up? Did we have a lot of details?
We had a pretty good sense of what was going on with the story by then, because this was late last year. And by that point, Oscar, who is the center of the story, the protagonist, already had found out that he wasn't who he thought he was, that his real father was involved in the massacre at Dos Aires, that he'd been abducted. And that his real father was still alive. So this was late December, and Sebastian then got in contact with Oscar's lawyer, and we kind of took off from there.
All right. Now, we took a different approach to this story. This is less of a reported piece and more of a narrative storytelling.
We certainly wanted, it's a great story. It's a fantastic saga, and it's got great themes about human identity and savagery and what's real justice.
It's packed with information.
Yeah, so we wanted to try to capture that drama in the story, and we decided we weren't going to use a typical journalistic, straightforward newspaper-style presentation on the piece. We wanted to write it like it was a novel, like it was a real story unfolding, like the reader was standing right there watching events occur. Now, you said it wasn't a reported story. That's not right. It was a very, very deeply reported story. Sebastian spent a long time looking through records, court records, both in Spanish and English, to sort of flesh this out. They interviewed, from Oscar, Guatemalan prosecutors, the president of Guatemala, the attorney general of Guatemala, dozens of interviews with people, investigators here in the United States who have worked on cases related to the Dos Aires massacre. So it was a very deeply reported piece. Just so we didn't stick all the attribution in the narrative like we would for a normal newspaper style or magazine style telling.
Because that would sort of just interrupt the flow of the story?
We wanted people to devour the story. And that's what they're doing, according to all the feedback that I'm getting. It's just a great read. And there's just a lot of emotion to it. There's some pretty tough parts when we're writing about what occurred during the massacre in Dos Aires, which was quite savage. And but I think that, you know, readers get a great reward in the end. To my mind, it's a very hopeful story because Oscar, in the end, is going to help the cause of justice down there. He's going to be testifying against some of the perpetrators of the massacre. And I think it's a very inspiring piece.
Well, can you give us a 2-minute summary of the story?
I guess I could do that, yeah. In 1982 in Guatemala, the country's in a civil war. There's a coup. A general by the name of Rios Montt, actually is retired at the time, ends up taking power for about 18 months as a result of this coup. During this time, he unleashes this policy of going out and basically, eviscerating a lot of people in rural parts of the country where they're suspected of participating, you know, harboring guerrillas. Mm-hmm. It was pretty savage. There were not just the Dos Aires massacre, which involved the murders of about 250 people, but many other massacres during this period. At Dos Aires, everyone in this village, about 250 people, are killed except for two boys. There may have been a couple other survivors who got away or who weren't there. The boys are abducted by two of the soldiers.
They're special because they're light-skinned and green-eyed.
Yeah, they're both light-skinned and green-eyed, which are kind of prized racial characteristics, apparently, at the time. And so they're taken away and raised by the families of the soldiers. One of them was 5 years old. One was 3 years old. Oscar was a 3-year old. The lieutenant who abducted him was killed about 8 months after the massacre. And so he never really got to know his father all that well, but he was raised very kindly by the lieutenant's family and eventually ended up migrating to the United States.
And then, okay, so he moves here. What happens
after that? He moved here illegally. Right. He settled outside of Boston. He hooked up with his teenage sweetheart. They started a family. He has worked two jobs, tries to lay low, stay out of trouble. And suddenly he gets an email one night, or actually a phone call from relatives in Guatemala who say a prosecutor is looking for him. So he calls the prosecutor trying to figure out what's going on. And she tells him, well, I can't, it's a sensitive matter. It has to do with this massacre that occurred in 1982. And I'll send you an email explaining the whole thing. So he doesn't really know what's going on. Then a few days later, it gets an email from the prosecutor who says, we think you were abducted. We think you're someone who you don't think you are. You're the man you think is your father is not really your father.
And why did Oscar participate in this story? Why do you think he felt the need to share his personal story?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that, he now has a petition for political asylum here. I'm sure he'd like to stay in the country legally. The prosecutor and others are trying to help him do that. I think that he felt like getting the story out, and some of the people who are trying to help him felt like getting the story out might be helpful in that regard. But I also think that, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, it's a historically important story. Knowing what happened there and bringing justice to the people who were involved is a critical thing. And I think that if you read the story, you'll find in the end that he agrees. So, I think he thinks it's the right thing to do.
How long did it take to put the whole thing together?
Well, I think Sebastian started in December and we just published in May. So that's 5 months.
That's pretty good.
But it involved lots of travel. We went down to Guatemala, spent more than a week there interviewing all kinds of people. Sebastian went to Miami to tell a piece of the story about tracking down one of the perpetrators there. Washington, D.C., we had Anna to meet with two of the former soldiers who are in protected custody. And all that took a couple months, and then it's writing and editing and working with our partners at This American Life, and here we are.
Okay, speaking of This American Life, one of the reasons we're interviewing you instead of Sebastian is because we thought we'd take a back, behind-the-scenes view of it.
Sure.
So how? Why did we choose to work with This American Life?
It's a natural for This American Life. I know you know the show. They love telling stories about people, especially people who are confronted with very unusual circumstances. And I don't know what could be more unusual than the situation that Oscar faced. Steve and I went over there and met with producer Brian Reed and a couple other folks and pitched the story. And we pitched it pretty much the way we told the story here. Imagine sitting down and opening an email saying that the person who you think is your father is not really your father. That's a tremendously powerful anecdote and a tremendously complicated circumstance, and we thought it'd be great for them.
And Fundacion MEPI, because of Anna's involvement.
Yeah, Anna was a great help to this. They did a lot of the groundwork for us in Guatemala, helped us find documents down there and arrange interviews. Anna is a veteran journalist, and she's trying to do something very special down there with the Fundacion. And we wanted the story to get out in Latin American press, and she's been very helpful in trying to set that up.
What were some of the most significant challenges in piecing this all together?
Well, I think that, it's a difficult story. Most of the people who are at the massacre don't want to talk about it. But there's actually a pretty voluminous historical record. So it took a lot of research to sort of figure out what parts of the story we could tell, what was reliable, and also reach people who could sort of let us know what was going on as the story unfolds. There's Oscar's story, there's a story of the massacre itself, there's a story of the investigation to find the perpetrators. And because we wanted to tell the story in a movie-like way, it takes a lot of interviewing to actually be able to recreate those scenes with the level of detail, make them come alive. So I think that was a real challenge for us. Also, there are challenges with language, and getting things right is really important to Sebastian. Thankfully, he's a great Spanish speaker, and he and Arana both worked really, really hard to make sure that we got all our translations right and things like that. So that was a hurdle.
Okay. And why did you feel like this was a story ProPublica should pursue?
Well, there was a little bit of debate about it first. We weren't quite sure. Steve and I felt like it's a solid ProPublica story because it's a story, we do accountability journalism. And I don't know what could be more an accountability story than holding war criminals to account. That's really what the story does. And it's also very timely, I think. It's not just a story about history 30 years ago. It's a story about what's going on in Guatemala right now, because Guatemala and all the Central American countries struggle with this issue of crime and impunity, whereas crimes don't get prosecuted. People aren't held accountable. This is a case where the people who are pursuing this, Sarah Romero among them, are going up against some really powerful forces, people who have threatened them and can do harm and have done it to others, to pursue the people who were involved in this massacre. And we just thought it was a great accountability story.
And there has been some accountability. People have been brought to justice, right?
Yeah, within the last year, there have been two trials in Guatemala. I believe there have been five people convicted now, the soldiers who were involved. And just recently, Rios Montt, the dictator who was responsible for this campaign in the 1980s, the judge down there ruled that he could be held accountable for crimes against humanity. So there will be a trial, presumably, for him.
All right, Tom, great work. I kudos to you, Sebastian, Steve, and everybody involved.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it, Mike.
You can read the entire investigation at ProPublica.org/Oscar, and you can purchase it in ebook form on Amazon and iTunes. And now for our official Say the Darndest Things Tumblr quote of the week. It is hard to keep 218 frogs in a wheelbarrow long enough to get a bill passed. Who said it? House Speaker John Boehner, referring to the Republican caucus. Okay, that's it for this week's show. Special thanks to Min-Hee Cho for producing, to you for listening, and for ProPublica, I'm Mike Webb. We'll catch you next time.